The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Allergen Air Filters. They trap larger airborne contaminants to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our entire selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey guys, and welcome to Mysteries and Histories with me, your host, Georgia Marie. This podcast audio is adapted from my YouTube channel. I wanted to make my content more accessible for those of you on the go, and we all love a podcast. So if I ever reference anything on screen or a photograph, please bear in mind this audio was originally made for video. It won't hinder your listening experience at all, but just to save any confusion. And if you do want to go and subscribe to my channel, I'm just Georgia Marie over on YouTube. And with that, let's get into it. All around the world, there are people out there buried in graves with no names and no identity. People who are lost to their families, who will never know what happened to them. Maybe their families assumed that the loved ones simply decided they didn't want to be a part of their lives anymore. Or maybe they know that something bad must have happened, but have always lacked the resources to actually go out and find them. In the years before digitised records, when police stations didn't have easy access to other databases, it was very, very easy for somebody to go missing in one place and be found in another, maybe just over one border, and the connections are never made. But I am on a one-woman mission to make those connections, to spread the word of unidentified people, and hopefully capture the right person's attention. Today, I want to share with you the stories of two separate Jane Does, cases that admittedly don't really have the most public information available, and I don't really see being spoken about all that often, but I think that makes it even more important for me to share them. Both of these cases have some incredibly similar details. Now, my Doe cases on my platforms categorically perform the worst. They don't really tend to get many views and people don't tend to have interest. So if you have clicked on this episode, a huge thank you, and please share this with other people who you might think might take interest. So, our first Jane Doe today is known by two different names. She's either the Bowmanville Jane Doe or the Clarington Jane Doe. And for her story, we're travelling over to Ontario in Canada. It was October 27th, 2006, when a man was out near the Darlington nuclear plant in Bowmanville, Ontario. He was just out looking for dogwood plants, and he was searching this marshy bog near the entrance when he came across a few scattered human bones. There was a skull, a femur, and just some other random bones. And obviously, he quickly called the police from this location. An investigation immediately began. Forensic officers spent 2 weeks clearing the tall grass and the weeds, and in the end, they were only able to find a few items of interest. There were the bones I've already mentioned, which did include a skull with two missing teeth. There was a wristwatch, a piece of red ribbon, and a red heart-shaped object. Now, I'm not entirely sure what this heart-shaped object was. At first, I assumed it was maybe a pendant that went alongside the ribbon, but it doesn't look like there was any holes in the pendant or whatever it was to attach it to the ribbon. It was just like a piece of plastic in a heart shape, maybe. But that was all they found. The search was concluded on November 29, 2006, just over a month after the remains were found, and that was kind of it. Because of the type of land she was found on, this really like boggy, marshy area, A, it was very difficult to search, and B, it was very difficult to determine how long her body had been here. She was completely skeletal, so you can assume she was there a while, like over the summer at least, but nobody really knows. Investigators have looked at a kind of death timeline here from the mid to late 70s all the way through to 2006, but they've concluded it was most likely she died any time from 1996 till 2004. They haven't been able to rule out a timeline outside of that, but like those 8 years seem the most likely. Side note, please excuse my voice if I'm a little bit croaky today. I have had a very busy weekend and my throat has taken the brunt of it, so I am a bit croaky, I apologise. I don't think it's bad enough for me not to film. Interestingly, the spot in which Jane Doe was found was incredibly close to the eastbound exit of Highway 401, which runs from Windsor all the way through to the Ontario-Quebec border. If we assume that Jane Doe's body was dumped in this location, which we don't know for sure but probably makes sense, the killer was likely driving on the highway coming from the east before deciding to get off at this exit and dump her body in this location. This highway began in Windsor about 445 kilometres away, which is a 4.5 hour drive away from Bowmanville. Jane Doe could technically have been murdered anywhere in a town or city along that route, with the killer just jumping on the highway to go and dump her body. But it is also important to note that Windsor, or this whole area really, is also right over the border from the USA. Just the other side of the river from Windsor is Detroit, Michigan. It's also pretty easy to access Buffalo, New York along this route. All of this to say that Jane Doe might have been Canadian or killed in Canada. It's also very likely that she could have been from the USA, just visiting over the border when she was killed. I assume she couldn't have been killed in the USA and then her body transported over the border. I guess there are checks in place, but I've personally never crossed this border. So if any of you have any personal experience and can tell me otherwise, please do leave a comment. Like, do they check your car? Do they check your boot? Like, or your trunk? Like, do they do those kind of checks or could you just pass over it? But let's talk a bit about our victim here. So as her body was skeletal when it was found, there wasn't really loads that could be deduced about her death. Her cause of death is noted as unknown. Which does mean that we don't know for sure that this was definitely a case of murder. It could have been a natural death.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
But what I will say was that this is a very rogue place for a death to happen if it was natural, like a bog outside a nuclear plant. No, it does seem like this is a place where somebody would choose to dump a body. A detective, Chuck Nash, said back in 2010, it's off the beaten path, so that makes it highly suspicious. It would lead us to think that this is a body dump location. Her remains were also not found with clothes, which again is another tick in the murder box, but bear that in mind, we'll come back round to that in a little bit. In the original autopsy, Jane Doe's age was estimated to be 18 to 25 years old. She was confirmed as female, but height, weight, hair colour, eye colour, all of that was unknown. At the time, it was thought that she was Caucasian, and I couldn't find any reasoning as to why they came to that conclusion, but they thought that she was Caucasian. In more recent years, however, my favourites over at the DNA Doe Project have taken on this case and they found that she was in fact of African or Southeast Asian descent. She was categorically not white. We'll go into more detail about this later in the episode, but in 2009, investigators did release composite sketches of this woman, along with descriptions of the items found alongside her body. I don't know why they didn't do this until 2009, I don't know why they would wait so long, but any physical description at this time in 2009 would have been wrong. Anyone looking for their Black or South Asian missing loved one would have immediately moved on as soon as they heard that this Jane Doe was white. They were wrong, she was not white, but that's what they put out there. It wasn't until the last couple of years that it came out that she was in fact not white, and a searching family may have moved on since that point. That's not to say they don't care, but maybe they searched for a very long time and eventually just had to move on. Maybe it got too painful. Like, people have got to live their own lives eventually. But I have no doubt that them mistakenly saying that she was white would have had huge repercussions on the search for her identity. Although we don't know the most simple things about Jane Doe, she did luckily have some distinguishing marks and features that might be helpful. She had a well-healed nasal fracture and some indicators of surgery. So did she maybe break her nose badly as a kid or teenager and have to have surgery to fix it? She was also anemic, but she might not have actually known that. She had prominent upper teeth and plenty of fillings. Her front teeth had white fillings and the back had small silver fillings. So this was clearly a woman who took good care of herself, didn't want to get silver fillings in the front of her teeth, wanted to get white ones instead so you couldn't see. Like, she cared about her appearance, she cared about herself. Like, she attended her dental appointments, she broke her nose, she took herself in to get it fixed. Now, in Canada, public healthcare is free, or at least free at the point of use, so if she was indeed Canadian, it's not like funds would be an issue here, but she clearly cared enough about herself to go and get her nose fixed when it was broken and a bit wonky. Which sadly can't be said for everyone. Like, some people sadly don't feel like they're worth getting themselves fixed, like worth caring for themselves, which is something you often see in cases like this one, unidentified people, transients who just disappear. As I mentioned earlier, Jane Doe was also found alongside a watch. It was a woman's digital Omni watch with a stainless steel band. Investigation found that this type of watch was sold exclusively at consumers distributing from 1981 to 1983. Now, this doesn't tell us much, but it does tell us that in the early 1980s, Jane Doe was of an age where she likely had use of a watch. That is, assuming that she brought it new and it wasn't secondhand. And there's no way of knowing what the case is. So for 4 years, this investigation didn't really go anywhere. Like I said, they didn't even release the sketch and descriptions of the items until 2009. But then in 2010, there was a step forward. Apparently Ontario had had some uncharacteristically dry years that meant that the waterbed around the nuclear plant had receded, and the land was now nowhere near as boggy as it once was. And that meant there was now the perfect conditions for another proper search. In 2010, investigators went back in and combed the field once again, finding yet more items that could have been something to do with Jane Doe. Most importantly, they found the two missing teeth, like the teeth that weren't found in the skull, meaning that they now knew that she wasn't missing these teeth in life, it wasn't a distinguishing feature of her, the teeth had just fallen out of the skull after her death. They also found a woman's ring, size 9.5, and incredibly unique in design, and I don't think I've ever seen anything like this ring. And I spent a lot of years poring over fun rings online and sending them to my fiancé. Like, I've seen a lot of rings in my time, I've never seen anything like this one. It was chunky, gold with a red garnet stone and 2 1-point diamonds either side. It was definitely the kind of ring that somebody would recognise, and from the wear and tear on the band, it seemed clear that the woman, assuming it did belong to Jane Doe, wore it very, very often. This might have been an everyday kind of ring for her. On the inside of the ring, the word Burns was stamped, and investigators tracked this down to a business in Oshawa called Burns Jewelry. They would have sold the ring, but it turns out they didn't make it. This was made by A&A Manufacturing in Toronto. So if Jane Doe had this ring and she wore it every single day, it does suggest that she was either born and bred in Canada or she'd been here quite a long time. Burns Jewellers operated between 1923 and 1994, so the ring would have been bought before 1994, suggesting that she died sometime after that point. And also, this was very local to Bowmanville. Oshawa is just 19 kilometres away, a 20-ish minute drive from where Jane Doe was found. So was Jane Doe very local to this area? And Oshawa was east. It does match with the theory of the murderer just jumping on the highway, exiting at the eastbound exit, and dumping the body. This would have been the quickest route from Oshawa. Although Jane Doe wasn't found wearing any clothes, or at least no clothes were found with her bones, in this second search they did find a men's hooded short-sleeved shirt with red, yellow, and blue stripes.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This had clearly been here for a very long time. It was worn and ripped. An investigation found that it was sold by Tip Top Tailor, labelled Blue Rodeo, sold between 1995 and 1996. And this is where they're able to sort of like further narrow down the timeline. It's not a given that this search was necessarily linked to Jane Doe, but they're assuming that it was. This shirt was sold between 1995 and 1996, and therefore if it's linked to her murder, she had to have died after that point. I don't really know how often people went to this marshy area, like how many people would have lost or abandoned items around this point. I'm assuming really not many, and the t-shirt does match up with the rest of the timeline. Of course, this was a men's top, not a woman's, but I don't think that really means much. Perhaps it was an oversized shirt that she slept in, perhaps it was the top that the killer was wearing and it got ripped and ruined and he chose to abandon it alongside Jane Doe. Like, we just don't know, but investigators do think that the shirt was linked. One article also claims that the remnants of some grey track pants with elastic cuffs were also found at the scene, and this is backed up by the Doe Network, but as far as I can find, no photos of these sweatpants exist, nor does really much more information, so that's all I have for that. But luckily, in this case, we do have DNA, and as mentioned earlier, the DNA Doe Project are working on it. They took on this case back in 2021. Although they obviously don't have an identity yet, they do have some more information about her genetics that they have shared publicly. They've said Jane Doe was of predominantly sub-Saharan African descent, but she also has a smaller portion of South Asian descent. So she likely had a South Asian parent or grandparent or great-grandparent, whilst the rest of her family were African. Apparently, this is a really common mix of ancestries. After the abolition of the slave trade in the Caribbean, labourers, workers from South Asia, mostly British India, were brought to the colonies in the Caribbean instead, which eventually led to a very mixed population, cultures and families merged, and it has been confirmed by DNA Doe Project that Jane Doe does indeed have distant cousins in the Caribbean, so she's probably from that area of the world. They haven't pinned down exactly which countries in the Caribbean, but they have mentioned St. Vincent, the Grenadines, and St. Lucia. And she may have had familial ties to other countries in the area as well. And very interestingly, Ontario, particularly sort of like Durham and the Greater Toronto Area, has a very large Caribbean population. They're working with the theory that Jane Doe may have immigrated to Canada from the Caribbean, and they are trying to connect with the Caribbean Canadian community in this area to see if anybody went missing. This is also why I mentioned the possibility of her being from the USA earlier as well, because there is also a very large Caribbean community in the USA. So she could have maybe spent time in the USA before then heading to Canada, but they think she came to Canada at some point in the 1980s. It's not entirely clear from my research why they think that she directly emigrated from the Caribbean rather than just having Caribbean parents whom she was born to in Canada and grew up there. But I guess maybe hopefully one day we'll find out. Maybe they're working under the assumption that if she had family in Canada in this region, she would have been reported as missing, like somebody maybe would have recognised her. Detective Chuck Nash has said that it's likely this woman was never reported as missing, or if she was, that the report may have since been deleted because there was nothing more on it. Or maybe they think that she was an immigrant due to the fact that it seems all her cousins are still in the Caribbean. The fact that she is likely from the Caribbean is going to bring up some obstacles in this case due to the fact that people of colour have way less representation in genealogical databases, especially people in the Caribbean. If that is indeed where Jane Doe is from, the DNA Doe Project are going to be much less likely to hit those close genetic matches. So they're asking anyone who thinks they might be related, however closely to Jane Doe, to input their DNA into GEDmatch if they feel comfortable doing so. The latest updates I could find in this case were from 2021, but she is still listed as an active case on the DNA Doe Project website, so no doubt they have been very slowly plugging away on finding out who she is. Forensic genetic genealogy can be a very, very slow process. The latest updates I could find in this case were from 2021, but she is still listed as an active case on the DNA Doe Project website, so I have no doubt they've been slowly plugging away on finding out who she is. Forensic genetic genealogy can be a very, very slow process. Maybe they've got a bit closer in the last 2-3 years, but all it will take to crack this case is somebody closer coming forward, somebody who maybe lost a cousin or a sister, and that person talking to detectives or that person uploading their DNA. That is all they need in this case, just that one degree closer, and maybe they can find out her true identity. And the same can also be said for our second case today, that of the Kilgore Jane Doe or Gregg County Jane Doe. The reason I've chosen both of these cases is because they're actively being worked on. They've both been taken on by the DNA Doe Project, and investigators are also actively looking for an identity as well. They both have fairly recent updates. These aren't necessarily cold cases, like they're being worked on. For Kilgore Jane Doe, we are heading to Kilgore in East Texas in the year 2000. It was the 23rd of December, just 2 days before Christmas, when human remains were found by hunters between a railroad track and a creek in a wooded area on Spinks Chapman Road, which is just 5 miles northeast of Kilgore in Texas. This case is really similar to the last. The remains were skeletal and no cause of death has ever been ascertained. This means they haven't even been able to confirm that Kilgore Jane Doe was the victim of any crime. The spot in which she was found was said to be incredibly remote. It was kind of at the bottom of an embankment with a railway line running along the top.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It was theorized at the time that perhaps our Jane Doe was hopping a train, maybe she lost her footing and fell down the embankment. Of course, this has never been confirmed, but there's no actual evidence this was a murder. It seems more likely that this was just an accident. Although I haven't been able to find any photos of this exact location, my research leads me to believe that this was so remote that they don't even believe it could have been used as a dumping spot. They've never really run with the theory that this Jane Doe was a murder victim, but of course she could have been. We don't know. That's the point. According to the Doe Network, Kilgore Jane Doe was estimated to be short, anywhere from 4 foot to 5 foot 2. chances are she would have been on the taller end of that spectrum. Namus has a height down more specifically as 4'10 to 5'3". She was around 115 pounds, her hair colour and eye colour are both unknown, and we don't even have any distinguishing features for her, we just don't know anything. They did find clothes at the scene though. There was a white Adidas shirt with black stripes on the sleeve, there were some blue jeans, a white bra and panties, and some brown leather shoes that were made in Mexico. It's not clear if the clothes were found on the remains or what was left of the remains or if they were found elsewhere, but I would guess they were found with the remains somehow. Jane Doe's age is estimated as 30 to 50 years old, and from the level of decomposition, and despite being just bones, investigators came to the conclusion that she hadn't been in this spot that long before being discovered, at least not that long in the grand scheme of things. I'm not sure how exactly they determine how long a set of remains have been in the spot. I don't know if they just look at the weathering on the bones, potentially look at the state of the ground and the pollen and like the nature underneath. But sources in this case say that authorities believe that she died somewhere between 1999 and 2000. So either the year before she was found or the year of. If she did die in 2000, I would guess it would have been earlier in the year, before the very hot Texas summer at least, which would have aided in the very fast decomposition. Animal tracks and bite marks were found at the scene, which is apparently very common when it comes to a body in an area like this. Of course, it's going to attract animals. And this may have aided in the very fast decomposition. The first officer on the scene all those years ago was a young detective called Tom Watson, and he said this case has stuck with him for all of these years. By 2021, he'd worked his way up through the ranks, becoming the Gregg County District Attorney, and one of the main things that he had on his mind when he became District Attorney was finding Jane Doe's identity. He said at the time, back in 2000, that they searched all the missing persons reports, they tried to find anything that would lead them to who this woman was, but it was all to no avail, there was just nothing, and there was so little to go on at the scene. There weren't even really any interesting pieces of jewellery to track down here, and the clothes were just very bog standard. I mean, a white Adidas t-shirt and blue jeans, they're sold in stores all around the world, like, how are you going to find out exactly what store they're from? There was just nothing they could try and narrow down and zoom in on this case, nothing at all. In recent years, her DNA has been sent to Parabon Nano Labs, and it has always been assumed that she was African American, but the DNA test came back showing that Jane Doe was actually almost entirely Native American. There's a 75% chance that she was originally from Central America, and a 17% chance that she was from South America. Parabon Nano Labs have taken this information to the DNA Doe Project, who are using it to aid in their genealogy search. In September 2022, this was actually their featured case for Hispanic Heritage Month, where they shared a bit more information on their Facebook page. They've said that Jane Doe's ethnicity estimate demonstrates 99% Amerindian ancestry, with it being very likely that Jane Doe came from a rural population in Latin America. She was wearing leather shoes from Mexico at the time of her death, and Texas has a high Mexican population, so it very well could be that Jane Doe is from Mexico, but not just that, like, she is ancestrally native to Mexico. Tom Watson, the former detective, now district attorney, first one on the scene, said to KLTV.com just last year in February 2023 that this makes a lot of sense with what they thought at the time that she was found. They believed that she was a migrant or a transient, that she was trying to hop on a train, and that she slipped and fell. Just earlier this year, in 2024, a snapshot DNA analysis was added to Jane Doe's Namus page, and I love these things. They analyse the DNA to create a composite profile, they look at the sex and ancestry, and they create a facial composite. It's very visual, I'm a very visual person. And this shows that Jane Doe had light brown or brown skin, she had brown or black eyes, and black hair. It also shows that she would have had zero freckles. And her updated facial composite is so realistic looking, it could literally be a photograph, although it does look entirely different to the previous facial composites. Years ago, they made this clay rendering of her that just looks a bit terrifying, and that's no reflection on her looks or potential looks. I just find clay renderings in general really uncomfortable, like it's almost Uncanny Valley vibes. I hate when cases have clay renderings. I hate it. Just give me a sketch, please. Don't get me wrong, I get their value. I get like how handy it is to have like a 3D rendering. They just make me so uncomfortable. So as it stands right now, Kilgore Jane Doe is being actively worked on by the DNA Doe Project. And just last year, she was one of the 10 cases that were featured at the Las Vegas Crime Conference. They say they are committed to finding her name, saying, serving that community where so many women have been forgotten is so important to us. And so, even though these cases are hard, these are the kind of cases the DNA Doe Project like to take on because they make a real, real big difference.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Because just like in the case of Bowmanville Jane Doe and her Caribbean ancestry, Indigenous people are also very, very underrepresented in the DNA databases, meaning there are far fewer matches. According to the CDC, murder is the third leading cause of death among Indigenous women, which is way higher than any other demographic in the USA. But was this Jane Doe murdered? That's just one of the very big questions here. Anyone with any information on Jane Doe or on potential relatives are urged to contact the Kilgore Police Department. Of course, I'll leave all the contact details down below and I'll do the same with Bowmanville Jane Doe as well. If you are from either of the communities mentioned in this video, if you're Caribbean or Native American, Central American, and you feel comfortable submitting your DNA to GEDmatch, then I'll also leave details on how to do so in the description box as well. Both of these women deserve to have their names back and be buried in dignity or laid to rest in dignity. They had families who deserve to have closure, families who have probably spent decades wondering what on earth happened, why did they just disappear? If these Does were from other countries, there's every chance that they were reported missing to their local stations, and those reports maybe never got as far as the USA or Canada. They may well have had people searching for them for decades. These kinds of cases are so much more complicated to solve, but I think that just makes it all that much more important to highlight them, to talk about them, and hopefully get their faces, or maybe faces, their composite sketches, out there just a little bit further. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Like I said at the beginning of this episode, these kinds of stories mean so much to me. Like, the thought of being buried without my name, without my identity, without my family knowing where I am, it is genuinely one of my biggest fears, and I'm sure it's the same for so many of you. So this is just my little way of hopefully one day being able to help. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you in the next one. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Mysteries and Histories. If you have a bit of time, I would love for you to go and leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast and spread the word. It would be much appreciated. I'll see you next week.